Okay, we are ready. Excellent. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God. And thank you for the opportunity we have to open your word today. Thank you, Father, for what you want to say and do through me. Thus, you must move me out of the way, that you may have the freedom to say and do whatever to whomever. For those of us, Father, who needs comfort, I pray you will comfort us. And for those of us who need conviction, Father, I pray you will convict us. For there's nothing greater in all the world than what you have to say. In your Son's most holy, precious, and glorious name, we all say, praise God. If you would turn to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. There's a new government coming. Can't hear you, church. There's a new government coming. Chapter 20 is the beginning of the millennial kingdom. Chapter 19 was the second coming of Christ. And we said Christ is coming back on a white horse. And all of us that are coming with him will be coming on white horses. I was just asking the Lord the other night, Lord, would you mind if I came back on a white Harley Davidson? But I don't know if he'll let me do that or not. We said that he's coming back as the word of God. And when you are the word of God, you can come to war on a horse. When you're as bad as Jesus Christ would be as he comes back for the fifth world kingdom. Only thing you need is the word of God to stop anything that has power, to stop all tanks, to stop all missiles, to stop all planes. Just the word of God will stop it all. When he comes, he's going to destroy the political system of the world, as the world is known since the beginning of mankind. The second coming of Christ will destroy that system, the political system. The second coming of Christ in chapter 19 will totally destroy the great harlot in Babylon, which is the false religion of the day. It's going to be totally destroyed. The third thing the second coming of Jesus Christ is going to destroy is the whole economic system of how we live today. It's going to be totally wiped out. Now, as you've noticed, it is very important that when one government, when one political system, when one false religious aspect of the world is wiped out, it must be replaced with something else. And we have been discussing this throughout the book of Revelation. That which will replace it is the fifth dominating kingdom led by Jesus Christ and his saints. Now, we talk about a lot of governments, amen? And we have seen a lot of government. I want to read a couple of governments to you. Is that okay?
Yes, sir.
Good, good, good. I'm going to do it anyway. And you just be quiet before I roll you out of here. Now, and to bring a little humor into the different types of governments, we're going to deal with governments on how they would handle two cows. Is that okay? Okay, two cow government. Socialism. You have two cows. You keep one and give one to your neighbor. It's pretty good government. Communism. You have two cows. The government takes them both and provides you the milk. Fascism. You have two cows. The government takes them both and then sells you the milk. Bureaucracy government. You have two cows. The government takes them both, shoots one, milks the other, pay you for the milk, and then pour the milk down the drain. Corporate government. You have two cows. You sell one, force the other to produce the milk of four cows, then act surprised when it drops dead. Democracy. You have two cows. The government taxes you to the point that you must sell both of your cows in order to support a man in a foreign country that has only one cow that was a gift from your government. Capitalism. You have two cows. You sell one and buy a bull. Socialism. some of those governments sound pretty good. But we are talking about the coming government that is perfect. God himself leading the way. Chapter 20, verse 1. And I saw an angel come down. This is John writing. As Jesus Christ has given him the revelation of himself. You have to remind yourself that there is no S on revelation. It's not revelations. It is revelation. It is about Jesus Christ himself. Giving the word straight to John. And I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and he sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and who had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years was finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Aren't you glad that you have a pastor who pretended he studied all this to help explain to you, so you can go out and explain it pretty simply to all? We're going to be talking about the prelineal views. The millennium is used about 6 times in chapter 20. You do not hear the word millennium basically anywhere else in the scriptures. And many people are upset at times about how we teach the millennial view. There are basically 3 millennial views, just as there was basically 3 views about the tribulation. If you look at the Revelation can be broken down into 3 basic parts. And the third part can be broken down into 3 more parts. You got Revelation chapter 1. That is the beginning of all time. It is the beginning of all time. Up until Christ was crucified on the cross. From Adam and Eve that was created by God to Christ dying on the cross. Chapter 1 of the book of Revelation. Chapter 2 and 3 is the second part of the book of Revelation. That is the church age, that which we are living in today. It tells about how Christ himself feels about us as his church, as his bride. Then we have chapter 4 through 22. Talks about all future events of what is coming. You do not have to guess. You do not have to worry. You do not have to wonder. You do not have to go out and do research. Chapters 4 through 22, 21 tells you exactly what the future is going to hold and what the future is going to bring as far as God's economy is concerned. In that third part, chapter 4 through 22, it can be broken down into 3 parts. Today we're going into the second part of the third part. Chapter 3, chapters 4 through 22 can be broken down first, chapters 4 through chapter 19, which is the tribulation period. Just think, out of 22 chapters, God reveals 16 of them talking about the tribulation period, what we have spent many hours on. The tribulation period is God's wrath coming back on a world that has rejected him. It ends with Armageddon, Armageddon, the mountain of Megiddo, either one you want to say. It is the same. When God comes back, he will wipe out every aspect of mankind that is not a believer. He's going to kill everyone on the earth that does not belong to him. That ushers in the millennial period. Verse 1. And I saw an angel, chapter 20, come down from heaven, having a key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Very important to understand this, because your view of the millennium is going to dictate whether you understand when I talk about it, when the church talk about dominion. We are the fifth world dominating kingdom with Jesus Christ. There's a philosophy and a theology and a doctrine out there in the world today that uses dominion as a total wrong view of what the church is supposed to be doing, but it's all based upon which of the millennial views they hold to. We're going to break that down for you a little bit. Amen?
Amen.
Are you following me so far? All right, let's break it down. Chapter 1, everything before Christ came on the earth and died. Chapter 2 and 3, our present age that we're in right now. Chapter 4 through 22, all future events, what's going to take place after the church is rapture. Pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. Those are the three views about the tribulation period. If you miss most of those, please call, get the tapes, for we can all use a little bit more education and finances in the church. Amen.
Amen.
After the tribulation period, first part, first 3.5 years, there's going to seem to be a peace on the earth. A substitute that Satan wants to bring. Every time God does something, Satan always wants to substitute it. But he can't do it, because you can't duplicate that which is not duplicable. I impressed myself with that one, amen. So he's going to bring 3.5 years of peace during the tribulation period. Well, God, when he comes back, he's going to bring 1,000 years of peace. And folks, things are going to change during the millennial period. I can't wait to talk about this period as we go through it. But today, we want to emphasize, what is our view? And our view should be the biblical view of millennial period. Here we go. First, you have the premillennial view. Pre means before, comes before. The premillennial view. Now, if you would look at the board, you will see Christ crucified. That started the church age. Rapture of the church is going to be pulled out 7 years before the second coming of Jesus Christ. That is that chapter 4 through 19 of the book of Revelation. 7 years that God is bringing wrath on the earth is where you and I are going to spend some time at the feast of the Lamb. Remember talking about that. And that means that that's going to be the third aspect of marriage with the church, that Christ is going to bring us back to earth on his return. Now, I told you, I believe that the feast is going to be ribs. It's going to be a church for all by every people. It's going to be a feast for all people. So you're going to be able to take your ribs and dip them in the Grey Poupon. Amen. It's going to be a classic. Now, the premillennial period says that at the end of the tribulation, the second coming of Christ is going to take place. We're going to come down on white horses. We're going to stop all war. We're going to wipe out all armies. And I'm saying, what a glorious time that was. You remember, here it is. The bear is going to show up. The army carrying the banner of the bear. And who else is going to show up? The army carrying the banner of the dragon and the banner of the tiger. And what else we got? The lion. They're going to all show up. And then we as believers will show up carrying the banner of a slain lamb. Everyone's going to laugh at us until they get close. And the closer they get to that slain lamb, first thing they're going to see is the lamb has been resurrected. Woo! No bear has been resurrected. No dragon has been resurrected. No dragon, no lion, no tiger, no nothing. Just the Lamb of God will be resurrected. And then the closer they get, not only is it the resurrected Lamb of God, but it turns into the Lion of Judah. Well, I can get excited about that, but you don't. You just stay calm, because this is the east side. boom, we're going to come back. They're going to turn the fight. It's going to be a quick fight. God's going to speak his word, and everything's going to be laid to rest. Everyone that's coming out of the tribulation period that survived are all believers once God shut it down. Are you listening to me? Christ comes at the end of the tribulation period, kicks off millennial reign of Christ. 1,000 years Christ is going to dwell on the earth. Then the great white throne judgment, because Satan at this time will be bound. Can you hear you? He's going to be bound for 1,000 years, and the scripture tells us so that he cannot deceive mankind. We're going to break that down as we go through the scriptures. Everything's going to change during the millennial period. Life is going to change. Rule is going to change. Of all the governments that we read about with those two cows, none of them is a perfect government. Not socialism. Not democracy. We are not a democracy here in the United States. Please do not get confused about that. We are a republic. And as Americans, we have lost sight of what a republic is. We are not a democracy. We need to take responsibility as a republic, as each individual person of America. America is not perfect. It is just the best. It is the best here today. But the perfect is coming. You know what the perfect government is? It's a dictatorship. Now, see, you and I have been taught that a dictatorship can never be good. But if you are a believer, you understand this concept of dictatorship. When Jesus Christ comes in, he does not govern by your vote. Ooh, pastor, don't do it. Don't do that to us. Amen. The perfect dictatorship will be set up. At the end of that dictatorship, Satan is going to be turned loose. And even though people are going to be born over and over and over again, I mean, many, many people will be born during this period. Many during that 1,000-year reign of Christ would not accept him as Lord and Savior. Now, what's so amazing, folks, is anyone that comes out of the tribulation period that's a believer are going to continue to live in the flesh just like you and I are today. They're going to continue to be in marriage, and they're going to continue to have children for 1,000 years. Ladies, let me see if you're going to get excited about this. You can live 1,000 years and have babies the whole 1,000 years.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Some of you women go, what? If you're a believer right now, that's one thing you ought to accept Jesus Christ for, because you're going to be eliminated from that. But if you accept Christ during the trip, oh, baby, 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 baby. Somebody ought to write a song about that. You know what I'm saying? All right. And all those babies that are born is going to be born from the flesh during the millennial period. Anything that's born from the flesh is not saved. So for 1,000 years, the perfect reign of Christ, with Satan being bound, that's going to be a freedom row. Turn loose at the end of it. Satan is going to be turned loose. And when he's turned loose, many that have been on a perfect government for 1,000 years or so is going to rebel with it. And then we're going to talk about that. We'll break it down for you. Then the great white throne judgment. It's amazing, isn't it? God come back on white horses, and the final judgment is going to be the great white throne. Ooh. Give you some ideas when we go through this about where I think the United States may fit. Because there's nothing in Scripture that talks about us even being around during this time. So it'd be good for us to know a little bit about what maybe the Scripture is going to say about us. Amen? All right. And then eternal judgment is going to be set. Now, that is the pre-millennial view. That's what I believe the Bible teaches. But not all believe that way. Next is the post-millennial view. Anyone know what post means? After. means that Christ is going to literally come at the end of the millennial kingdom. Now, this is where you get churches that talks about dominion does not mean it the way we mean it. If you have a post-millennial view and you talk about dominion, you are talking about a serious takeover of the church, overcoming the government literally and running everything as believers. That's where you get the wrong teaching of dominion. And that's why many Christians, when they talk, hear us talk about dominion and hear us talk about what God wants the church to do and God wants us to be the leader. We are God's ambassadors. He is coming back. There's no doubt. All views say Christ is coming back. You cannot get around that. That is the truth of God's word. Amen.
Amen.
But if you have a skewed view of the biblical teaching, you also will have a bad doctrine of what the church is supposed to be doing during this period. This view says that the church age is basically going to end. But it's going to end with the church being in total control for 1,000 years, and the church is going to bring peace. Can't hear you. And at the end of that 1,000 years of peace, Christ is going to return straight to judge. That's post-millennial view. During that period, you have some dominion issues. If you believe that Christ is going to come back at the end and the Bible talks about a peace, a ruling of God's way, then what and who must take over? The church. And that leads to a bad, bad doctrine of view and relationships when it comes to the world. Post. What is it? Post. Jesus Christ comes at the end of the 1,000 years of peace. Don't necessarily have to be the exact 1,000 years, but that's what the word millennium means. 1,000 years. Then he have all the same things. Christ comes, great white judgment seat. Then you have eternal judgment. And then you have a couple other theological problems. One is, we're going to really miss out on coming on white horses, except just to come down to judge. Throws us off. I don't like that. Amen? I want to ride horses for 1,000 years. I think that'll be fun. No saddle sores, no nothing. That is the post-millennial view. Is everyone with me? Any question? Don't sit out there like a knot on a log. If you have a question, you know I don't give this opportunity often for you to raise your hand. Now, if you're a little lost, raise your hand. And then I'm going to have everyone look at you and laugh. All right, now. No, if I'm going too fast, just slow it down. Amen? All right, the third view. Post means after. Pre means before. Amillennium means no. Means no 1,000 years. Literally, it is figurative. The amillennial view is Christ was crucified, and then the church age is going to go until Christ returns. Again, giving a false avenue to dominion theology. Dominion theology, taught by most, when you have a post-millennial view and an amillennial view, is that the church should come in, take over the government, and we should rule in Christ, and that we should control everything. That's why when you hear your pastor in many circles talk about dominion, they are thinking that we have an amillennial or a post-millennial view. We do not. At Antioch, we have a premillennial view, and that is that Jesus Christ, we know, is the king. Just as, let's walk through the four kingdoms before the fifth kingdom. The first kingdom was Babylon the Great. Babylon ruled the world. Whenever Babylon was going to come into a city or a nation, it would send its ambassadors. It would send its representatives. It would send its embassies. And it would tell that nation, look, the world kingdom Babylon is coming. We just want to know, as we represent Babylon, what is it going to be? Is it going to be civil takeover, or is it going to be a hostile takeover? Amen? There's no discussion about whether you're going to win or not. It's how you're going to be conquered. That's the issue. Now, did the ambassador say we are ruling? No. Did they say we're going to take over? No. They said our kingdom's going to take over, and we're coming to get you prepared for our kingdom that's coming. And the church is the only embassies, the only ambassadors, Christians, are the only one that's failed in their job to warn the world that the world-dominating kingdom is coming. Amen. The second world kingdom after Babylon was Persia. Medo-Persia. They sent embassies. They sent emissaries. They sent representatives. They sent ambassadors. And they said to the world, the second world kingdom is coming. Is it going to be civil or is it going to be hostile? You will lose. We will win. We just want to know. Third world kingdom, Alexander the Great. Took over when he was 19 years old. Woo! 19. Died when he was 33. Very short kingdom. Amen? He sent ambassadors. He sent embassies. He sent representatives of his world kingdom. He asked the question, is it going to be? Is it going to be? We just want to know. You're going to lose, and we're going to win. Can't hear you. All the ambassadors and embassies warned the world Alexander the Great was coming. Fourth world kingdom. Only one that was not destroyed. Rome. The Caesars. They did what? They sent embassies. They sent ambassadors to warn the world that what was coming? The fourth world kingdom was coming. They asked the question, is it going to be? Or is it going to be? You're going to? We're going to? We just want to know how you want to be beat. Can't hear you. Rome was dispersed because God says, I'm going to kill Rome. The mighty Hannibal moved in to destroy Rome. Rome could not stop the mighty African king, Hannibal. But God says, I will destroy Rome. God brought a freeze on, froze all of Hannibal's elephants in the Alps. Froze them. Popsicle elephants. Sent the great Hannibal back, literally, in defeat. Not because of Rome, but because of weather. I can't hear you. Is my God awesome? He says, I'm going to make history be right by what I have said. Then it was dispersed. The fifth world kingdom is coming. God's going to bring Rome back together. We talked about that. Chapter 16, chapter 17, chapter 18 of the book of Revelation. Can't hear you, church. I wish we had time to really break this down. But we're already over, amen? God sent us during this time. And he's asking you and I to warn the world that the fifth world dominating kingdom is coming. He has sent what? You and I as ambassadors. He sent the church as embassies. And he's saying that the church should tell the world, you're gonna, we're gonna, is it gonna be, or is it gonna be? That is our message to a world today. As a church, we have totally lost our responsibility to God, number one, and to one a world, number two, that has no idea that the mighty God of all of gods, the Lord of lords and the King of all kings, is coming with a wrathful way about him this time. Verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. You know what I'm so amazed about? Just that one verse right there alone. I want you to hear me. Just that one verse there alone. If you move out of your pride and your theology, will totally destroy amillennialism and postmillennialism. Anyone know how that does? Because it says here in verse 1, chapter 20, that an angel's going to come down who has been given the authority and power to grab Satan, the great dragon, to chain him up for 1,000 years so he will have no influence. I want to ask you a question. If this is true today and we are in the millennial period according to the amillennialists and the postmillennialists, Satan must have a very long chain. Can't hear you. Because that sucker's still moving out, messing up things like crazy. Well, we're going to break it all down, theology-wise, verse-wise, in the next several weeks, talking about the millennial kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. We at this church stand on premillennial. Because our Savior, our God, of all gods and Lord of all lords, have called us to do a job to warn the world, to be in the midst of setting up for how it's going to be when Christ comes. When Christ comes, he's going to run all businesses. Can't hear you. When Christ comes, he's going to have all governments under his thumb, for there will be no other. When Christ come, medical will be done God's way. When Christ come, music is going to be done God's way. When Christ come, legal is going to be done God's way. When Christ come, everything is going to be done God's way. And we as his ambassadors is to set up his program so it won't take so long to get it going when he comes. That's the purpose of the church. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God. Thank you for your word today. Thank you that you've given us the responsibility to warn a world, an unsuspecting, unknowing world, that you are coming. And to set up on earth preparation for your kingdom. Help us in a small way, Lord, all of us that are here today, help us to understand that, of why we do what we do, and why Montage for Martin is so important. For it is about thinking of others as being more important than yourself. To let the world know you can't celebrate a godly man right outside of the church. We are the church. We are your bride. May we reflect your greatness in everything we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much. The doors are by the... Oh, Rita. Oh. Hold up. We got a wonderful answer to prayer for you. Rita, are you here? Is Rita here? I don't see. Let me share it with you. I think it was almost 23, 24 days ago. A young lady in the church was diagnosed with cancer of the kidney. She got very sick on Christmas Day. She came up front for prayer with all the elders and his pastoral staff. And we prayed that God would heal her. Or God's will be done. They had taken the MRI, they had taken the dye, they had done the test. Cancer in her kidney, growing very rapidly, and had to be removed quickly. After we prayed, she went back to the doctor and says, I had my church pray, so I'd like to be scanned again. The doctor, her non-believing doctor, says, nope, it's cancer. We've done all the tests. MRI says it is. we need to operate now and get that out of there. She said, no, I want it scanned before I pray, my church pray. I want it scanned. He wouldn't do it, so she went back to a Christian doctor. Told him, my church has prayed. I want this scanned again. He said he prayed, scanned it. Nothing was there. In a period of 18 days from the time the church prayed to then, God totally removed it. Now, I said, now here I am. I was talking to the nurses down at the radiation room. I said, now here I am, the senior pastor, got cancer. Came up, the lady prayed for her. Her cancer's gone. What's the deal? You know what the deal is? You cannot base your experience with God on someone else's.
Right.
God knew what she needed. God know what I need.
Right.
And I tell you, we serve a wonderful God when he does what he wants to, because they are being witnessed to double by how God has totally miraculously moved it and how God can give victory through a sickness.
Right.
Isn't it great? Let's give God a wonderful praise.